Our text for this morning's sermon is taken from the gospel with special emphasis on the following words: "Zeal for your house will consume me." This is our text. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus is zealous for his house. He is just as zealous for his house today as he was for the temple. We are his house, made the place where God lives, where he dwells through our baptism into Christ. He comes today, though, to do a little Lenten turning over the tables in our hearts and a driving out of the beasts of sin that have settled in and made themselves at home in us. He is zealous about not letting us go our own way, about not letting us stay in our sin and die. He gives the law, the Ten Commandments, to reveal the stench of our sin in order to cleanse the tainted temples of our hearts. He cuts to heal. He kills to make alive. It is God's love for us that consumes Jesus with zeal for the temple, because you know what? He's consumed with zeal for you, each and every one of you. He's consumed with it. The Apostle Paul writes, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God?" Do you not know that? Unfortunately, we don't. Or we forget about that by getting caught up in the shady business of a corrupt people in a fallen world. God created your body. He created your body and would have you live in your body. Your body isn't just a separate appendage, something you can do with what you will. It's part of who you are. God created your body, and he has been living with you in your body since, as I mentioned earlier, your baptism into Christ. It's why the Apostle Paul writes, quote, "The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." Sexual immorality is about benefiting oneself at the expense of others. It perverts the genuine love of God in Christ, who sacrifices himself, who gives everything he is and has for his bride, the church. It perverts all of that into a form of prostitution, which says, if you do something for me, I'll do something for you. Love becomes a place of trade instead of what it is genuinely in Christ. Place where God gifts us with everything he is and everything he has. This perversion also depicts God as being our employer instead of who he genuinely is. God is our Father. This is why Jesus made a whip of cords as he came into that temple. And he drove them out of his house because they made it a place of trade. They made it a place where people benefit themselves at the expense of others. And that is not what the church, his temple, the place where he dwells is all about. It's about a love that bears all things, a love that keeps no record of wrongs. It's about a love that never fails, even when the object of his love does, you and me. So zeal overtakes him. He's zealous for his house, for his bride, the church. He doesn't want us whoring after other gods. He loves us, every last one of us, with everything he is and everything he has. He drives those out who are running with a different kind of love which is no love at all. John writes right after our text for today in verses 24 and 25, Jesus on his part did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. He knew and knows what's in a fallen humanity. He knew that those in the temple that day, selling, buying, doing all sorts of those sorts of things, he knew that they only cared about themselves and that they were seeking to benefit themselves at the expense of others. He knew that they were corrupt. He knew that they were corrupt and that they were misrepresenting who God is and what he does, and he will have none of that. No misrepresenting who God is and what he does for us. Zeal for his house consumed him. Why? Because Jesus is completely consumed with you, with your forgiveness and reconciliation. He doesn't stand idly by while we sin in thought, word, and deed. He doesn't say that's okay because it's not okay. It needs to be forgiven. He doesn't bless what God has cursed because when you sin and I sin, we end up destroyed, utterly and totally wiped out. That's why zeal for his house consumes him. He loves you. He loves you to death, even death on a cross. Jesus cares about everything, even the details of your life. He cares about how you live. He cares about that. And he cares about the things you do. He does. He's God. He knows it all. And he genuinely cares about it all. And he cares when he sees you wandering away and hurting yourself and the things that, quite frankly, may seem harmless to you and me. The things that you think are no big deal, like putting yourself before God, being indifferent toward God when it comes to your prayer life, not seeing the calling on his name as something that is very important to you. You don't care about him. Choosing other things to do with your time instead of going to church each week. Seems harmless, doesn't it? It's not harmless. Disrespecting the authorities whom God has placed over you, hurting others, or lusting after things that belong to them, being greedy about what you want, and stingy about the needs of others whom God has placed you as a neighbor to them, to care for them, gossiping, coveting. Oh, for heaven's sakes, Pastor, everybody does it. That's right. Everybody does, and it's made a mess of everyone. Jesus doesn't stand idly by with all of these things happening, with all of the things that you and I do that are contrary to the Word of God in thought, word, or deed. He doesn't stand idly by because he cares. He cares. It'd be easy just to say, no big deal. But because it is a big deal, he cares, and he cares so much, and maybe in the opinion of some, cares too much, like when he steps in to do something about it. It's why many seek to keep God and Christ from getting too close. They don't want him intimately involved in their affairs. I want to do my own thing. You see, but that's not love, is it? And I've been sharing with you a love for a spouse, for their spouse, a love for a husband, for a wife, wife for a husband. It's not about keeping your distance. It's about being intimate with each other, in thought and words, bodily. Being there for one another, knowing everything about one another. And I got news for you. God knows everything about you, every last detail. And that, I know that's scary. But Christ the bridegroom, he's not leaving. He's not going to divorce you. God will never, ever divorce you. Just keep loving you more. He won't stand idly by when things go wrong, but he deals with them. And you might think he's not very compassionate today when he goes in like a madman with a whip and cleanses his temple, but this is tough love. It needs to be done to save them, to save you, to save me. It is that very stepping in that not only works in our hearts and lives to drive us to repentance, change of heart and life, but that has also provided for us a new temple, a new place where God dwells with his people. It's the place of his flesh and blood, a place where God and man are brought back together again. The temple Jesus was speaking of was his body, destroyed on the cross out of love for us. He'd rather die than see you die eternally. His body destroyed on the cross out of love for us, the bride, his church, and then raised on the third day. The bridegroom lives, and he lives to love you with everything he is and everything he has, to wash you of all your sins, to do a little spring cleaning, a little Lenten cleaning today. To wash you in his blood, a blood that wipes away every stain of sin and death. His body is the temple par excellence, the place where heaven and earth meet, where divinity and humanity are united, where God and man are reconciled and made one. So he lives in us, and we live in him. That's what this is all about. He bodies and bloods us together with him. It's an intimate relationship. He wants you to know everything about him. By the way, that's why we have a school. That's why we do our daily devotions and access the Word of God. He wants you to know everything about him and how much he loves you. How he stops at nothing to be with you, to turn you away from hating him to loving him. And he does this by loving us even more. His body is the place where heaven and earth meet, where divinity and humanity are united, where God and man are reconciled and made one. I said it again because this is so important. This is the place where we talk to him in prayer, right? You can talk to him. You can confide in him. You can tell him everything. He knows everything. And he knows how to deal with everything. So he wants you to confide in him, to talk with him. And communication, isn't this how a husband and wife, how they grow in their intimacy, talking with each other, listening to each other, and listen to him. We come here to listen to him, to listen to Jesus, so that we have everything we need, so that we know that in him there's no distance between God and us and no distance between us and each other. And we dine with him. We dine with him. We eat with him. You know, when you eat with your spouse, that's a place, and by the way, with no distractions, that's a place where intimacy grows. As you eat, you talk with one another, you unpack what's going on with one another, as you nourish one another with your love and care for each other, along with the food that you delight in with each other. This is the marriage feast of the Lamb that never ends. This is the wedding feast, if you will. And isn't it interesting that John talks about the third day, a wedding feast in Cana in Galilee, and because he wants you to think of the third day when Jesus rose from the dead? Here we are, family, all together, talking with God, listening to him, dining with him. The one consumed with us is now consumed by us as he gives us here his body to eat and his blood to drink. And yet he is not consumed, but risen and now lives in us. His life into our life and our life into his life. All to one end. All to one end. That we might live with him forever. Jesus is zealous for his house. That is, he dwells with us here in our home. We too might dwell with him there in his home. Together, forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard our hearts and our lives in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.